One of the amazing things about this time in which this time that we are going through is that our circumstances have changed quite drastically, but our personalities have not. And this was reinforced to me not long after the pandemic started, when we were still getting used to masks and one-way aisles at the grocery store, and when we were still being extra careful to avoid even a passing contact with someone closer than 6 feet. I was in the grocery store. I was in an aisle, dutifully waiting for my turn to buy something. I can't remember what it was. The shopper in front of me, who was obviously a person of very meticulous character, paused with her cart to look at something on the same shelf as the item that I was looking for. She would have been probably about my age, I would guess. Directly across the aisle from her was a cardboard floor display, which meant that the aisle right at that point was too narrow for my cart to get past her cart. So I had no real choice but to wait 6 feet away. She then proceeded to meticulously compare the food labels of all the various brands of whatever the item was that she was looking for. And because she was wearing a mask, her glasses kept fogging, so she would lift them up until they cleared, place them back on her nose, and read what she could before they fogged again, and then repeat the whole process again and again and again. She was not in a hurry, but I was, and I suspect the three carts lined up behind me were too, and I felt myself getting more and more irritated with each bottle that she compared. I thought I should probably say something, but by now I wasn't sure I could trust my tone of voice. And so I waited. Finally, she chose the item she had settled on and she put it in her cart. And then she stood there, I think for the longest 10 seconds of my life. And she was just thinking. And then she went into her purse and took out her grocery list. She unfolded it, rummaged around for a pen, carefully crossed off the item that she had just put in her cart, just as carefully folded the paper back up, put it back in her purse. And it briefly flashed through my mind that I must be on one of those hidden camera shows. And I felt like yelling, "What are you waiting for, Christmas?" But I didn't. I just stood there in my mask, doing my best to look patient when I really wasn't. I think this is how many of us feel just now. We're trying to look patient on the outside, but inside we are struggling, maybe even seething with impatience. Inside we are on a kind of a hair trigger. Impatience is lurking right at the door. Now ours is not a patient culture to begin with, and so we're not used to waiting. After all, we have fast food, minute rice, and same day delivery. But it seems even harder this year. I think I am less patient than usual. For one thing, we're all ready for this pandemic to be over. We feel like we've waited long enough, gone long enough without adequate social contact and normal work and travel. For another thing, I wonder if all this COVID-induced waiting somehow magnifies the dissatisfactions we struggled with prior to COVID. But if I may be so bold, help is on the way. Because on this Sunday, ready or not, we step into the first week of Advent. And Advent is all about waiting. And so themes of patience and impatience become really important for us at this time of year, especially on this most in this most unusual of years. Advent is about waiting for God to show up. And if we are to observe Advent well, we have to ask ourselves two questions. First, how does God show up? What does that even mean? And second, how should we wait? And our scripture readings for today really help us with both of these questions. So to the first question, how does God show up? Well, the Bible, taken together as a whole, is the story of how God shows up in three very different ways. Someone summarized it really well for me this past week. He shows up in history, he shows up in mystery, and he shows up in majesty. He shows up in history in the coming of Jesus Christ in the manger at Bethlehem. And in Christian theology, this is the event that the Old Testament prophets pointed to for generations. This is the culmination of hundreds and hundreds of years of longing. And in the Advent season, we relive that history by reading through sections of the Old Testament which recount the most important hopes of the people of God, and then also putting beside them the most important sections of the New Testament which show their fulfillment in Jesus. That's one way that God shows up. As we carefully read the Bible, we will also see that God shows up not just in history, but in mystery. Roman Catholic Bishop Robert Barron reminded me this week via podcast that wherever two or three are gathered together, somehow, mysteriously, God is present. A verse that we're all claiming these days, by the way. He reminded me that when we receive the Eucharist, there, somehow, mysteriously, Christ is present. When we are baptized, somehow, mysteriously, the Holy Spirit takes residence in us and God is with us. When we do good to the poor and the neglected, we are giving to Jesus, who somehow is mysteriously present in them. So God shows up in history, but he also shows up in mystery. And when we read the Bible, we see there's a third way that he shows up. He shows up in majesty. This is still to come. The New Testament makes it clear that God is nowhere near done his work with us. It points to a time of culmination when all of the things which frustrate us, the injustice, the pain, the suffering, will be put right. Our reading from Mark's Gospel looks forward to Christ's coming again in majesty to rule. So, if these are the three ways in which the Bible says that God comes to us, that leads us to the second question: how do we wait? How do we wait well? This morning's readings are a real help in answering that question. They teach us that waiting involves longing, watchfulness, and confidence. Longing, watchfulness, and confidence. We wait with longing. Our Old Testament reading expresses this beautifully. Verse 1 of Isaiah 64, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." Can you hear the longing in that statement? In verse 2, there's a longing for justice. "Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you." Verse 5, there's a longing for righteousness. "Come and help those who gladly do right, who remember your ways." Verse 9, there's a longing for forgiveness and relationship. "Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are your people." So these longings are a huge part of properly observing Advent. There is a sense in which we should be impatient. This is not a season to just pretend everything is okay and think happy thoughts until Christmas. We are surrounded by real need, real pain, real problems, and to pretend that they don't exist would actually cheapen Advent. This is a time to get in touch with our real longings. Sometimes a kind of spiritual dysphoria can take hold of us, a vague and undefined dissatisfaction, a kind of ennui. We're not quite sure what's wrong, but something is askew. Well, Advent is actually a time to explore that, to discover specifically what we are longing for, and discover how God may want to meet us in that specific longing. Good waiting involves longing, but it also involves watching. Advent is waiting, and it's not like waiting in the dentist's office, as I've said before during this season. It's not a time to just sort of scroll through your Facebook feed, killing time. Advent waiting involves watching, looking for God to show up, waiting on our tiptoes. Our gospel in Mark 13 is all about watching, and the focus is on this sort of watching with expectation. "Be on your guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come," says verse 33. Verse 35, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." In just five verses, we have this "be on your guard," we have this "be alert," and we have three "keep watches." So our waiting in Advent is this active waiting. We're busy looking for the best vantage point. We're straining our eyes to see as far into the distance as we can. recently I had the opportunity to practice something called the Ignatian Examen. I did this most days of the week for several weeks in a row. This is an exercise developed by Ignatius Loyola, and it's a guided prayer in which at the end of each day you review the events of your day, looking for the movement and the presence of God in those events and the people you have encountered. This is the kind of watching we are called to in Advent, a careful watching. This is the kind of watching that I practiced in the Ignatian Examen, and I'm amazed at how often I had missed God's presence so many times in each day. Finally, good waiting involves trusting. Our epistle reminds us of what this looks like. Verse 8, "He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Can you hear the confidence there? Can you hear the trust there? He will keep you firm to the end. God is faithful. There's a huge difference between waiting for someone that you've never met and waiting for a trusted friend. In the first case, you're wondering if they will actually show up. You're wondering if you'll recognize them. You're wondering if they have forgotten because you don't know if they're reliable. But in the second case, you're waiting with a sense of confidence. They won't let you down if they can possibly help it. They won't leave you hanging. They have proven themselves trustworthy. And I suppose that is why encountering God in history and in mystery prepares us to encounter him in majesty and to wait with confidence, because he has proven himself trustworthy to us time and time again. And we are more inclined to wait in faith for his appearing. So this is how we wait for God in Advent. We wait in history, in mystery, and in majesty. We wait with longing, watchfulness, and confidence. This week, a friend shared a poem with me by Malcolm Guite. Though it was not written as an Advent poem per se, I think it beautifully describes what Advent waiting looks like, especially this year, especially Advent during a pandemic. It is called "Because We Hunkered Down." These bleak and freezing seasons may mean grace when they are memory in time to come. When we speak truth, they will have their place, telling the story of our journey home. Through dark December and stark January with all its disappointments, through the murk and dreariness of frozen February, when even breathing seemed unwelcome work, because through all these we held together, because we shunned the impulse to let go, because we hunkered down through our dark weather and trusted to the soil beneath the snow, slowly, slowly turning a cold key, spring will unlock our hearts and set us free. Thanks be to God.